Well, good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. I'm from Colorado, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Today is Tuesday, March 19, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Bill's Story. We're on page number 9, and we're looking down at the seventh paragraph, beginning with, he had come to pass his experience, ending with, I had to be, for I was hopeless. Today's readers are Team Tuesday. 12 Steps is Chris G. 12 Traditions is Susan G. Our reader of the text today is Elena C. Closing reader is Nancy P. And backup for us is Lynn S. The newcomer greeter will be Vanita L. And our second hour moderator will be Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, which was Monday, March 18, 2024, are the following. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,232. The 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,233. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. So here's our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. So at a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris G. to read the 12 steps. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. I'm Chris G. I live in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Susan G. in Tennessee also. Recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never to endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Chris G. and Susan G. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we will resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Bill's Story. It's in the Big Book on page number 9. We're reading paragraph number 7, and I will now ask Elena C. to begin reading.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Go right ahead.
My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. Thank you so much for the opportunity to provide service to this amazing community. He had come to pass his experience along to me if I cared to have it. I was shocked, but I was interested. Certainly, I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. Okay, well, a very short paragraph, but a powerful one. You know, and he talks to me about the beautiful beautiful task of carrying the message to others and what happens in the interaction between, you know, the person who talks about the message and the person who receives the message. So for me, before the program, the message was eat, 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 eat. All right. So as a result of my amazing, powerful emotion, I had no idea what to do with it. As a result of phenomenal craving, you know, the emotion was, I want to eat, which is, you know, always excitement. Saying to myself, I'm going to eat now and I can stop. The emotion of denial, but hope. All right. Interesting. And then I ate. And then the emotion was, oh, my God, what did I do to myself? Like, you know, criticizing myself and so forth. Hear how the emotions are changing. And it's not only emotions, but their thoughts. Everything that goes out in my body as a result of either being by myself, alone, no 12 steps, no you, or be part of this community. So here comes Abby, and I had an Abby and myself, and, you know, I heard the message. I was interested, and I needed to care to have it a little bit. At that time, I cared to have my weight loss. Like, you know, Abby was telling me, oh, you have a program of action and you can get close to God. But I heard I'm going to lose weight because she showed me her pictures before and after. And I was shocked. I was not shocked, but I was hopeful that I'm going to look, I'm going to be the most beautiful person in the world with the most beautiful body in the world. So then the world, you know, is going to love me, you know. And I heard when scientists will discover the center of the universe, some people are going to be very disappointed that they're not it. And that's how I was, okay? And then I became interested because of that. And I was hopeless, just like Bill. And the more I stayed, the more clear it became that it's not about the food. It's not about my body. It's not about being at the middle of the center of the universe. It's all about growth and transformation and God and being with you and carrying the message, you know, and allowing God, allowing my God to carry the message for me, through me. And then, you know, a lot of my emotions, thoughts, actions have been transformed. And I will never want to use that. My God, why would I? Why would I want to lose what I have? I can only keep it if I carry the message. It's as clear cut as that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Perfect timing, Elena C. Thanks so much for getting us started. That was Elena C. from South Carolina this morning. We do value everyone's experiences on the line with us today. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state when you come up to pitch so folks know how to find you on the list, who would like to share on what was read today?
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Ken W. Ken W. H.
Wanda R.
Riska
R. Reba P.
Nancy P.
And Janice P. from Massachusetts.
Did you get Riska?
Okay, let me tell you who. Let me tell you who I got. Hallelujah! It's so fun. Okay, here we go. I got Bonnie B, Ken W H, Riska R, Janice P M down there. Now, I'm missing somebody. Two people.
Nancy P.
Reva P.
Tanya D.
Nancy P. Reva P.
Wanda
and
R.
Thank you, Wanda. Thank you. I knew there was somebody else in there. Okay, Reva P. Whew. Wow. Hit it hard out
good
the
job.
Gate. Here we go, people. Thank you. Okay, let me tell you the order I put you in on my list, so that will help you if you're getting ready. Bonnie B., Ken W. H., Rivka R., Nancy P., Janice P. M., Wanda R., and Reva P. All right, Bonnie B., please get us started.
Thanks so much, Jen. Thanks, Elena, for the beautiful opening. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida. I'm grateful I recovered by the grace of God for today. The things that jumped out to me is he had come to pass his experience along to me. And so this requires, for me, intentionality. It means that someone cared, right? I mean, Abby cared. He cared enough to come and to sit with no strings attached. Because on the next page it says, if I cared to have it. So again, what did I do in my world before program without strings attached? Nothing. I wouldn't have told you that. But deep down, I always had an expectation. If I was going to put effort in, then there was going to be something that came back to benefit me. And this is a program where that's not how it works. We come and we share and we love and we pass along. And it's the love that propels us to pass along with no strings attached. And then what's on the other side? Maybe a person who's ready and maybe not. And that's okay because that's not the motivation behind why I do what I do. I do what I do because my God has given me freedom from something that has held me captive for years and years and years. And so my heart's desire is to do what Abby did, right? To come, to sit, to talk, to spend time. I mean, the next paragraph, you know, it tells us hours at times, right? I mean, we come with no strings attached. And the response of the other person, if it's genuine love and it's not like a notch in the belt, and I think people can tell it really quickly, they're shocked. They're shocked. But they're sort of interested. because this is really different than everything else that's out there. Everything else that's out there comes with a price tag. If it doesn't physically cost me, then there's strings attached. And then it says, certainly I was interested. I think that's the opening of that heart, because the presenter presents it in a way that doesn't hold someone captive. I think it's that genuine love, and I think this is the, you know, this is the gift of this program, and the book speaks of it over and over. It's the altruistic approach. It's like I'm doing it for the because ... without strings attached, just because, period. And I think what happens is it breaks the heart open on the other side. And again, that person has to be ready. But if they feel as though there isn't genuine love, I don't know how often they come back. I've heard it said many times, and I believe it to be true, people don't care how much you know until they know that you genuinely care. And so this program has poured that out upon me, and I am so blessed and so grateful for each and every one of you, and it is the desire of my heart to give away what I've been. And this book gives me a great roadmap, and so thanks for letting me share, everyone. I will pass, and blessings to you all.
Same to you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Up next, we have Ken W.H., followed by Rivka R. Hey, Ken, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Finally, Bill is hopeless. finally, this is going to end up being his last time of reaching bottom. This is his bottom. And I'm grateful that he got there. I'm grateful that I got there. I'm always brought to remembering a particular song that said, "There's hope for the old and the weary." I can relate. And hope for the newly begun, and I think I can relate to that too. There's power and strength to be found in the grace of my higher power, and that keeps me going. When I first started going to recovery meetings, I would walk into these church rooms, and it had blackboards. That's back when they actually had chalk and blackboards, and every meeting I went into was written in big letters on the boards, "Hope is found here." And I didn't know it when I walked into my first meetings that that's exactly what I needed, but it proved to be true, and I think that's what Bill faced at this moment. He was hopeless. He was at the end, and Ebby was there with a word of hope. And if I can bring that to anybody, if you're a newcomer and you're looking for a way out of your dilemma, there is hope. And it's found here. And I would strongly recommend that you keep coming back and listening to more experience, strength, and hope from those who have reached that place of utter hopelessness. God bless. Take care. Thanks. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Rivka R., followed by Nancy P.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much, Jen, for your service and everybody on the line. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. So, yeah, that line, certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. It reminds me of meeting the first person that really cracked open this big book for me. I was on a visit to New York, and I happened to meet an acquaintance who, she just looked like she had lost 100 pounds. I didn't even say hi. I just went, "How?" and she looked me in the eyes, and I saw a different look in her eyes, and she told me about a group that was really followed the big book. And the next night, she took me to a meeting in Manhattan. I was in Brooklyn. We were in Brooklyn at that point. And she, I met a group of people. They didn't segregate by symptom. You know, any addict was welcome, because they said there was something called the raw illness that everybody in addict had, and that's what they targeted through the big book. And I was like, I was blown away, and I got a sponsor from that group that night, and it was the first time that I really read the big book. And I, you know, got some good recovery for a couple of years, and you know, in that program, and each time, you know, I guess the key word here for me was hopeless. That I would, you know, when I first met her, I felt so disconnected from life, because that's what this disease does, just disconnects me from everything, and felt hopeless. But then I'd get some recovery, you know, and I wouldn't feel hopeless anymore, and I would feel, yeah, I got this, you know. But I wasn't growing in my surrender and my connection with God. I was just being getting relief, and so I didn't feel hopeless anymore. And it kept happening over and over. I would get involved with this group and that group and a different group and other groups, and you know, I'd get that feeling that I was okay for the moment, and then I'd go out again, and thank God, it took me a long time to really, really get that, wait a minute, I'm hopeless, that this, so the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind renders me completely hopeless, and there is no hope if I'm in self-will, and I'm self-reliance, and I'm not doing, you know, growing in my connection with God, and then finally, thank God, you know, that hopelessness is like, didn't leave me after the last relapse. It was like, there's no hope. This is it. You know, this disease is going to sink its teeth into me if I'm going to sink my teeth into something, and I'm going to be completely rendered hopeless. So I'm so glad for that, you know, that awareness, because that keeps everything very new and bright, even after, you know, 3 years. I'm so glad that that key to surrender, which is that hopelessness, is not leaving me. I'm not helpless. I'm happy, connected today, but I know that it's one step away from hopeless. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thanks, Rivka. Appreciate you. Rivka R. from Baltimore, Maryland. Up next, we have Nancy P., followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Jen. Good morning. Hi, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. I love this paragraph. It's so little. And what I love about it is he came to pass this experience along. And that is working with others, step 12. And, you know, there's references to step 12 of that kind, not just like, hey, step 12. It's sort of these subtle things that I picked up on because I couldn't do this myself. And the working with others, sponsees, outreach calls, you know, doing service of different stripes at various meetings, that's the most effective thing that I do of anything that I do, is working with others, because step 12 is the jewel in the crown. And, you know, Bill's story isn't a particular step as much as it is a thumbnail sketch of, you know, what happened, what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now. And I really feel like working with others was this missing link. I mean, it's working with others is more effective than abstinence. I was talking to a sponsor last night, and I said, abstinence is like a dead thing. It never changes. It's the same thing day in and day out. You know, I carefully watch how much food I eat and of what kind, but it's the same over and over and over again, wash, rinse, and repeat. Whereas my spiritual wakefulness, my spiritual life continues to change and continues to enlarge and get more complex and have greater depth. And it all starts with, you know, picking up the phone and saying, hi, I'm just making some outreach calls. Do you have a few minutes? And it's okay if you don't. Everybody who's ever had an outreach call from me knows that I say that still today, 6 years later. And, you know, I can't say enough about that, reaching out to other people. I had some fear yesterday, or some weird, sort of not exactly fear, but some weird, icky stuff. And, you know, I called somebody up. I called two people up, one person to talk about it and one person just to put the nail in the coffin. I mean, that's how important it is. And, you know, it's so, it doesn't seem like it's going to do any good, or it never did seem like it was going to do any good, because reaching out to other people used to be complaining and moaning about my life and my problems and how everybody else, you know, used me so badly. This is something that, you know, is like Windex and a toothbrush for the corners. If I stay in fit spiritual condition, then working with others is both the goal and the result. And today I don't have to struggle, you know, and the whole thing about shocked and interesting, you know, all the steps are pretty shocking when you, if you haven't done them. And I've read this book for decades and thought, geez, can you imagine doing all that stuff? It's a good thing I don't have to do that. And, you know, and I got what I got. But when I did what this book said in the order that it said and exactly as it said, I got everything that it promised, everything. And one of the main things that it says is talk to other people and listen to other people and be there for other people. Because those people, all of us, the people that I've ever talked to, that are ever on any meeting that I've gone to, those people saved me without even knowing it, just by being there to pick up the phone and say hello, or, you know, if I see them at a birthday party, the birthday party, or at a convention, or, you know, some in-person meeting, those people continue to save me. And all of that works to do one thing and one thing only, keep my surrender green and lean. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Nancy P. Perfect timing. All right. Up next, we have Janice PM. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, Jen. And this is Janice PM, a grateful, let me tell you, grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts, living in a hospital right now. But you know what? What a paragraph for me to share on. Every single share was what I, you know, even before I get on the meeting, I said, yep, that's going to be my, you know, I'm going to share my experience. I didn't even know what the paragraph was about today. But, you know, I wish that I had a spoon that I could just feed every one of us, including myself, you know, of how true this is. And, you know, I felt hopeless. Many, many a times. I had many bottoms. I came in 1982. That's 42 years ago. And, you know, yeah, I could find a solution. It was all about Janice. And, you know, my life wasn't going, it was going good on the outside. Then, of course, you know, it progressively got worse. But I was always trying to find the solution. One for my food problem. I thought that was the problem. But it was really about my life problem because I was in so much control of it. And, you know, I just can't express my experience because my experience is what I've been through. So I know. And if you ever want to call me, please, I'm on the list. I mean, this is another bottom. I've been abstinent, recovered. But, you know, as life goes on and my disease continues, God changes things for me, and there's real opportunities given to me to change. And they're not very, I mean, they're not very easy. I'm very, you know, I've been very sick. I've had, I mean, I woke up one day this week, today, in fact, feeling good. And, you know, it's a miracle. This is a miracle. This is what I want to stress is, you know, this was not a, life was not a miracle for me. It was a tragedy. And I can share with you, and I think I have to leave because I have a nurse come in right now. So I'm going to pass. All right. Thank you. Bye now.
Well, thanks so much,
oh,
Janice.
Good. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Be well. All right. Up next, we have Wanda R. followed by Reba P. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. I hope everybody has a great day. Yeah, you know, I can relate, and I also know that Bill is, you know, the cornerstone, and I can build on all the shares today, and I was diagnosed with cancer on my one-year marriage anniversary. I'm 71, and my 39th abstinence anniversary, so it was a big day. And I told my husband, it's business as usual. I'm not going to get down about this. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. It's rare. It's aggressive. I'm facing, all kinds of things. I've already had a kidney dialysis, a transplant, and I've had a back, severe back operation, and now I'm facing this, and it's going to curtail my swimming, which is my escape, and I'm not going to eat over it. That's in my head, and hope is knowing that good things are coming, and that God is going to be good to me, and believing it, believing that God is going to be good to me, and helping other people, and how can I help? If I can't get money, if I can't, that kind of thing, I can listen, and share experience, strength, and hope, and, try to have a good attitude, try to be the best person I can be, and keep growing. Mary Mo used to say, my old sponsor, she died. I was at her bedside. I sang to her, and it ain't over till the lid shuts. And keep growing. And I'm very grateful for my life. I'm very grateful for each day, and I'm working through problems or whatever, it's gonna come up, man. But I'm an emotional eater, but I'm answering it, sure. But I'm just I'm glad I'm here, and Bill is my foundation. Thank you.
Glad you're here too, Wanda. Keep coming back. Be well. And up next, we have Reva P. Reva, go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. The two main things that struck me was that he passed on his experience, not his opinions, not his judgments, not his point of view, just his experience. And I am so grateful to this day. I think one of the biggest gifts of this program is that one, recovered compulsive overeater sharing experience, strength, and hope with another, as opposed to a professional, guru, whatever person out there who has no idea, what it was like. But somebody who did what I did, was where I was and did these simple things and is not there anymore, that is so powerful. And such a great reminder that information is not transformation. I can talk and talk and talk, or somebody can talk at me, but I need to do things. I need to experience these things. I need to experience what it's like, putting that food down and feeling like my skin's going to tear in half if I don't get my fix, but getting through it, nobody can give that to me. I have to experience that. Working the steps and having that spiritual awakening, people can talk about it, but until I do it, it's a whole different thing. It's just a whole different thing, and I can't give somebody an experience. I can just tell them about mine. And the second thing that struck me is how, I've heard before recently how, pain is a great motivator. And being in this hopeless place where I'm completely deflated, where I've tried and I've tried again and I've tried the 20th time and I've tried all different ways and I'm hitting a wall. And I finally get to that place of despair, and it can be with the food, it can be with other things in life. But hitting a wall where I can't live with it, I can't live without it. And that is the place where I need power That is the place where the crack opens and the grace and light of God can come in, because that's when I need power. And I'm so grateful that I know when I hit those walls now, you know, I do the work, whether it's step 10, 11, 12, or step 4, and that's where I know that I need God. This is beyond me. So, you know, pain and hopelessness, or seeming hopelessness, can be a great jumping off place. And I think that's what's happening in the story. So, of course, I'm interested in how to get deeper and deeper in my relationship with this power, because as life goes on, we all hit more and more walls. So with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. All right, well, if you just jumped on the line with us this morning, here's where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Bill's Story. We're on page number 9, paragraph number 7, and I'm going to take a new list of names. So we do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your sharing every third day so that others can share their experience too. So if you'd like to share on the paragraph today, just give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and your state when you get up to pitch so folks can find you on the member list. Go right ahead.
This is Linda F. in North Carolina. F as in Frank.
Linda F. Thank you so much, Linda.
Yes.
All right. Who else?
Stephanie R.
Stephanie R.
Novella P.
I'm sorry, what was it? I stepped over you. What was it?
Oh, no, that's fine. Novella P. from Maine.
Thank you. Novella P. from Maine. Who else?
Joanne P.
Barbara
Joanne
C. from
P. And Barbara C. All right. I think that gets us a good start. Anyone else that's still unmuted want to say their name? All right. If everybody will mute their phones, press star 1. Let me tell you who I have. I have Linda F., Stephanie R., Novella P., Joanne B., and Barbara. All right, here we go, folks. Linda, go right ahead. Press star 1 and unmute.
Thank you. Thank you for the lovely job of moderating, and thank you for this meeting. I'm Linda F. I'm a compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And one day I walked into the place where my friend was visiting a mutual friend. And I noticed that she lost 50 pounds or so. I didn't know how much it was, but I knew it was a lot. And I said, gosh, you look fabulous. How'd you do it? She said, I'm in a program. I said, well, how can I, can I get involved? She says, sure. And I said, she says, are you ready? Are you willing to do anything? I said, sure. And she just looked so fresh, you know. She was smiling. It wasn't preachy. Does this sound familiar? And so I said, yeah. She says, well, it's a program. I said, okay, tell me how to do it. She says, well, not for sissies. I said, okay, I don't care. I'll do anything. So she turned me on to her program. And so I had my Abby experience, as many of us have. And I'm going to tell you, the first time I worked through the steps with a person one-on-one, took me about 3 months. It can go longer, it can go shorter. Transformational. And I'm sorry, the dogs are wanting to get attention. It was transformational. And the thing I'm impressed with this morning, I'm going to get right to it, is I've heard some members mention that they're ill. And yet they're on this meeting, and they're given hope. And they don't sound like they're afraid, you know. And one of the fears that I worked through when, you know, I did step 4 was fear of illness and fear of death. And that's a big one. And that's deep. But by the time I got to step four, I was ready. It's such an incredible difference in my life because I was worried all the time about losing people. I'm sorry. It's still a little sad, but it feels different. It feels different. So I want to thank the people that shared about that, and I want to tell you that folks, it's transformational. And I'm in the mental health business, and I've learned a lot of ways to help people, and I never learned anything that was more effective than just working these steps one-on-one, holding hands with somebody who's ready. The first day I introduced myself as a newcomer, I was in a relapse, and I probably got 21 calls, 22 calls. I still haven't called everyone back. It was overwhelming, but it was wonderful. I have a list of names. I couldn't believe how many people called. All you got to do is give your phone number. You're going to have people calling. Don't be afraid to talk to them. You don't have to be abstinent. It's almost like, you know, I have to be a professional dancer before I can actually dance. No, you can still call somebody. And that's what I'm doing. So I want to thank everyone. And I love you all. And I'm so glad you're still here after so many years. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda F. from North Carolina, sharing with us today. Appreciate you. All right, up next we have Stephanie R., followed by Novella P. Good morning, Stephanie. Where are you calling from this morning?
Good morning. Stephanie R., calling from Missouri. And thank you all for being here. This has been an incredibly just impactful meeting for me today. I remember coming into the meetings, into the rooms, truly hopeless. I mean, I was thinking of different ways to take myself out of here, and God gave me just the presence of mind to try to reach some type of serenity or some type, I didn't even know it was serenity at that time, but some type of hope that this life was just as beautiful as I see it today. But I was so sad and so disappointed and so disconnected with my life. And I just, at that time, there was not, I did think I went online and I looked for an OA meeting, and it was right around the corner from my house. And I walked into those rooms, and the people there were just so understanding and so welcoming. And they knew, I think, just from my voice and my tears and my state of mind, that I was truly at a place of being hopeless. And they just listened, and they listened with open hearts. And that truly, when I say, always save my life, it saved my life, and it saves my life today, one day at a time. I come to these meetings, and I listen to these stories, and I'm so grateful. I, too, have been so impacted by the people on the lines who are going through health issues and are here and are sharing and are keeping me in a place of humility, because I'm so very grateful that I have a higher power that tells me what to do when I listen every step of the day. And then I have you all who are just so incredibly inspiring to be able to do this program one day at a time. I am living in gratitude today. I am surrendered and I am recovered because I have a higher power and I have this meeting and I have all of you to count on when I just reach out to you. And for this, I'm so very grateful, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie R., for sharing with us today from Missouri. Up next, we have Novella P. from Maine.
Hi,
Novella.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
You can be heard. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. I only have two choices today. I can either choose food or I can choose God. And it's only by the grace of God and from these meetings, finding a sponsor who was willing to work with me and so that I could find my God, my true God, that could help me to really work and understand the steps. Because I've done it so many times, but it's just something different. I don't know what a vision for you has. I believe it's God. I believe it's all the power of God. Everything to me today, oh, it's God. It's God. I mean, I just, it has changed my life, how I look at life, how I do life. Food doesn't even make the chain of what goes on in my life. It doesn't matter anymore. Everything is about do no harm. Do no harm, Novella. Do what you believe God would have you do today. And that's how I live my life. And that's what we see here. He didn't want to cause any harm, and he didn't. Abby showed up at his house. He didn't cause any harm. He just shared with him what he had learned from working this. And the only way I got it was here with a vision for you. And so today, I'm so grateful that I'm able to pass this on. Before, when I worked 12 steps and now I got a spawn, I hated it. I hated all of it. Today, I love it. I can't get enough. I just love who I am today. I love who my God is today. I love my sponsees today. I mean, what a different, I'm so different from the moment I came in here in October than who I am today. And it's unbelievable the power of God and what he can do for us. So that I have to live God's way today, not my way. And it's life-changing, and it's forever. And I never want to go back to that miserable person that had to choose food because I had no choice. Today I have a choice. I have two, God or food. And today I choose God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Novella P. She's calling in from Maine today. Up next, we have Joanne B., followed by Barbara G. Morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So grateful to be here. A recovered compulsive eater. This paragraph really speaks to me because it reminds me of when I came into the program, and it was with desperation. I was not in a very good place, and passing the experience along to me, I was willing, really willing. I was so willing because I was so desperate that I was interested, right? I had to be, for I was hopeless. And so it's just been a gift of God, really, this whole program and all of you and the experience that you share. Experience your strength and your hope has given me so much hope. And helping other people every day. I go to a meeting on Wednesday night, and it's called the Hope Meeting, Help Other People Every Day. Yeah, that's what this program is all about, right? And just being honest, and all we can do really is share our experience, strength, and hope with humility and being willing to take action and work these 12 steps, abandon ourselves to our higher power. Because that's our problem, you know. We lack power, and we need our higher power. We need to surrender and accept with humility life on life's terms. And, yeah, the fact that we do have this obsession of the mind. And wow, when I read the doctor's opinion the first time, I realized how hopeless I was. And I was so thankful for understanding my disease and knowing that there was hope. That there was, there were people here who loved me and who showed me and shared with me their experience, strength, and hope. And I'm so thankful for my sponsor and for my sponsees and for all of you fellows in program who have helped me to understand how this program works, how our fellowship works. And how surrendering to our higher power is our hope. It's our strength. And just accepting with humility everyone and loving everyone and being tolerant. I love step 12. It's a challenge. We're practicing these principles every day of our life. But,
can I please?
Thank you. That has been my my mantra really now, and my help and salvation. So that I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Joanne P. is the correction from Pennsylvania. All right. Up next, we have Barbara G. from Paris. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, Jen. Hi, everyone. My name is Barbara G., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive word eater by the grace of God for today. I'm very happy to be on the line with you today. He had come to pass his experience along to me. I like this, he had come, because it reminds me that I need to go to newcomers and I need to go to those who are still suffering of this disease in an active way. And I don't have to stay home and wait for them to come to me. I have to go and look for them. This has been, in my last year and a half of recovery, a turning point, because I have come to a point of my recovery where I understood that this working with others, this going towards others, is a very active part. It must be a very active part of my recovery. So this, he had come to pass his experience, is a push for Barbara. Barbara, you have to go and give your experience to those who are still suffering of this disease. This means that I need to go to meetings. And when I have, you know, I hear someone who is out there looking for help and I have the chance to be of help, I need to just go out there and offer my experience. So thanks to this paragraph that reminds me today of how active I need to be in this endeavor of working with others and being of help. And then, and the other part, if he had come to pass his experience along to me, if I care to have it. Again, it's a very good reminder that I do not have to have that attitude of trying to push the message onto someone else because I think that is the thing that they need to have. No, this is a very good reminder that I need to have a very... I need to go there with my higher power and with humility and just remembering that I have a solution. Of course I do, but I can't force it onto anybody else. So I need to be very kind and very respectful of where the other person is. And so thanks to this, if I care to have it, I need to give what my experience is in respect of what the other person is there able to hear. And then I wondered, when it says, I was shocked but interested, I wondered, was I shocked when I heard the message? I don't know if I was shocked. I know that I was for sure interested. I was in total despair because after 18 years of OA, I had a binge and I was at my really, really rock bottom. So I was very desperate and I was very interested because I had had finally that deep, heartfelt awareness that I was going to die of this disease if I didn't do anything about it. So I was very interested. And yes, of course, I identify in that state of hopelessness. And it's a gift. I realize it's a gift. And when I have the privilege to work with other people who have gone through what I've gone through, it's really amazing. And with that, I'll pass. And I wish everybody a good recovered day.
Thank you so much, Barbara G. from Paris. All right, folks. Looks like we just have a minute left on the clock, so we'll just go ahead and end this marvelous meeting on that note. Just wanted to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this meeting. If you'd like the share ID for today to re-listen or pass along to a friend, grab your pen and paper. Here's the number. For Tuesday, March 19th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the code is 21,235. That's 21235. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book. It's on page 164. We're going to follow it with the Serenity Prayer. I will now welcome Nancy P. to please read A Vision for You.
Hi, Jen, Nancy P., as usual. A day late and a dollar short. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.